Welcome to ILTA's Bleeding Edge, a new multi-channel bi-weekly series that includes a short podcast and an online article publication. Join ILTA's senior content manager, Bethann Stubbe, and Joe Davis as they keep us up to date on the latest legal tech trends.
Welcome to episode 9 of ILTA's Bleeding Edge podcast. I'm Joe Davis, and in this session, I get to chat with Julia Shapiro, founder and CEO of the legal staffing company Hire & Esquire. Now, as you may know, states like Utah and California are proposing changes to Model Rule 5.4. That's the ABA rule that currently says that lawyers or law firms may not share legal fees or form a partnership with non-lawyers. Changing that rule opens the door for non-lawyer investments in law firms. It could impact the scope of what alternative service providers are able to do. It could change the whole law firm and partnership business model. Now, Julia is a legal entrepreneur and a former contract attorney, so I was really interested to get her perspective on these potential changes and find out what it could mean for lawyers and law firms. Here's my conversation with Julia Shapiro. So no one ever said that being a lawyer was easy, but recently it's gotten more complicated and the landscape is about to change. Tell us your perspective on that.
Wow, that's a big question. So I think the landscape in law has been changing for a really long time. Any lawyer can tell you that. I think that particularly in the last 10, 12 years since the Great Recession hit, lawyers have seen and law firms have seen a lot of changes. So I think that new changes coming up are going to accelerate and add on to the current changes that we've already been seeing. And I think there was a quote that Hemingway made about how he went broke, first very slowly, then very quickly. And I think you're going to see the same thing with the regulation changes in law. Right now, there's a bunch of states considering new regulations and changes. Utah is leading the way right now with how they're going to make the changes and implement them moving forward. So I think we'll see this period of states adopting and watching very closely. And then over time, it will accelerate and things will change very quickly after that initial research period.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what those changes are in Utah and California and states that are watching those two in particular.
Sure. So currently, just for a quick overview on the landscape. So one thing people have forgotten about in this debate is that Washington, D.C. has had more liberal laws than any states on non-attorney ownership of law firms since 1991. So most of these reforms center around non-lawyer ownership of law firms and fee sharing. Right now, Model Rule 5.4 is around fee sharing with non-lawyers, and that's what generally prohibits you from splitting money you get from clients with parties that are non-lawyers and or non-lawyers owning parts of a law firm. So since 1991, DC has had a very limited expansion of this law, where if I'm a paralegal working for a law firm, or if I'm the head of IT, or if I work for a PR firm, or I do PR, what I'm doing is directly involved in the delivery of legal services and is it an intersection with legal services, I can fee share with lawyers. So DC has been doing this since 1991 and it really hasn't changed anything dramatically or had an impact. Right now, what we have happening is we have a bunch of states considering reform. So there's Utah, Arizona, California, and Illinois is now also considering that they're going to move forward with some changes. New Mexico, same thing, Washington, and then DC is also now considering even more dramatic expansion of Rule 5.4 than they already have. So you've got a few states starting. It looks like a cascade is building. And right now, California is getting the most attention because, again, it's the fifth largest economy in the world. One in eight Americans lives in California. So it's getting the most buzz, but actually Utah is the furthest ahead. All of these adjustments pretty much center around Rule 5.4. There's mm-hmm. a lot of different things on the edges, but it's allowing either outside investment in a law firm, which goes along with non-lawyer ownership and fee sharing.
And so what are the drivers for this sort of change?
So the main driver and the reason people are entertaining these reforms and the reasons that bar associations and everybody is considering them is access to justice issues. So what multiple studies have found is that, you know, in the legal profession, we try to regulate it so that everybody gets safe access to justice. What the studies have found is that basically the way that law is structured actually just prevents people from getting any help at all. So to break this down practically, it's I'm a normal American who maybe works for just above minimum wage, and I need a will, or I need to get a divorce, or I have a custody issue, and the perfect has become the enemy of the great. So we have all these regulations. It makes legal services very expensive to make sure they're safe. But as a normal American, I can't even afford to access them. So I would be much better off if I could have somebody who wasn't a lawyer just help me navigate the system or help me get some representation that I could afford, rather than having this highly regulated, too expensive representation. So most of the initiatives come from making legal services cheaper so that the normal consumer, and we'll call it the B2C market, the B2C market can afford legal services.
So are we talking mostly about nonprofits that are going to benefit at least from providing legal services in this area? Is it law firms? Is it the big four? How do those all fit together?
So being a legal entrepreneur, when you look at, and a former attorney, when you look at the legal market, the majority of profit opportunity is in the commercial industry. So most of the money that's being made in law is with corporations and large companies versus consumers. So that's the biggest chunk of the market. And even with legal tech, that's where we've seen the most innovation and the most investment is in products and services that target that commercial area of the market. So I think that the access to justice reforms and the changing of the rules is aimed at the, you know, organizations that work in parallel with the court system. You know, and you have a lot of organizations like the Public Defender's Office that are actually, you know, often partially public, partially privately funded. So that's actually what the law is aimed at, is helping these organizations that work with consumers and work within the court system to provide access to justice. But I think where you're actually going to see the biggest shifts and changes is probably going to be in that commercial market, where a lot of investors have been looking to get into and where there's more profit opportunities.
So how does this change things for lawyers?
The angle that I've obviously been looking at this from, since I run Hire and Esquire, which is legal staffing and helping lawyers find jobs and helping law firms staff quickly. So I think at the beginning, it's going to be more confusing for everybody. And I do think we're going to see, particularly law firms and large law firms, there's probably going to be a lot of fear and a lot of fear and some confusion as the transition happens. Obviously, there might be lawyers displaced from their jobs initially at law firms. I think over time, while it might be painfully initially, I think there are going to be more job opportunities for lawyers. There's going to be an expansion of legal services, and there's going to be a lot more ways for lawyers to work than there are now. I think we've, again, to some extent, we've already seen this. If you look at, some people call them LPOs, some people call them alternative legal service providers. But if you look at these other legal service companies that are non-law firms, you'll see that they've already created a bunch of new roles and different positions for lawyers. And I think that the same thing is going to continue to happen over time with the market opening up further, where lawyers are going to have more options on how they work and where they work. And one thing that I don't think is controversial, people say this a lot, law firms and lawyers often weren't meant to be managers, but they are made managers by the restrictions on law firm ownership. And obviously, you know, C-suite level management, it's managed by partners, not necessarily executives. I think there's some good things to that and there's some bad things to that. And I don't think this legal reform is going to be all good or bad. It's going to be a mixed bag. But I think that one potentially positive outcome is that there will be more training programs set up and more investment potentially in training lawyers that isn't in the law firm model, where you're billing the client, just like corporations generally have training programs for their employees. So I think right now you have an issue with lawyers where if you get out of law school and you can't get a law firm job in practical training, you generally have a gap and it's really hard to get back into that legal market. I think that if there are different structures set up that help, where there's more money and investment to train lawyers at scale than there is from individual law firms, there could potentially, depending on how the cards fall, there could be potential for lawyers to have easier paths to practicing law than they do with the typical law firm structure.
So what does this mean for law firms? I mean, California has kind of opened up the process for comment. And what I've read is that the comments generally from law firms have overwhelmingly been negative. What's your take on that?
So yes, they have been incredibly overwhelmingly negative. And I think there's a lot of fear. Again, we at Hire and Esquire, one of the things that we do is we do personality testing on lawyers and soft skill testing. And one thing we learned when we were setting this up and doing research on the lawyer population generally is that they do tend to be more skeptical than the general population. So I think that there is a lot more fear right now with all of these changes. And again, change is always messy and painful. If you look at the tech revolution, if you look at the industrial revolution, there's a lot of people displaced in the process. So I don't think the fears are unfounded that if suddenly you have other players coming in, law firms are going to suffer more than they already have in the last 10 years under other economic shifts and more alternative legal service providers coming into the market. So I think that's where a lot of that fear is coming from and a lot of that reaction is coming from. And I don't think it's going to be painless for the people that are currently practicing or have law firms right now.
Let me ask you this question. What does this look like in 5 years?
So I'm going to pull out one of the things I learned in law school, which is the typical lawyerly answer of it depends. So I think, again, the future hasn't been written yet. I think depending on how and when these regulations and reforms are implemented, we could have a variety of different outcomes. And I think some are going to be good, some are going to be bad, no matter how we do it. And there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences. So I think heavily qualified, my guess is that within 5 years' time, we're going to have some testing and iteration of these initial modifications to Rule 5.4. I'm sure within 5 years, Utah will have tested things in the regulatory sandbox they're setting up, and all of these other states will be watching and following. So I think in about 5 years, we're probably going to be in a state similar to what we saw in the UK. They called it the Tesco Act, where they allowed alternative business structures to get law licenses and practice law. So my guess is in 5 years, we're going to have most states experimenting in some way, in a heavily regulated licensed way, where you're going to have to be licensed to practice law for non-lawyers to practice law or have non-lawyer ownership. And getting back to my first assessment that it's going to change very slowly and then very quickly, I think after 5 years is where we're going to see more of an acceleration of changes. And after they have those tests of the initial regulatory testing, things are probably going to continue to loosen up and become more open. And it will happen, then the shifts will become more dramatic. So I think 5 years from now, for any of the lawyers who are afraid of overnight changes, we're still going to be very much in a heavily regulated testing environment with non-lawyers. So my recommendations for law firm owners and lawyers right now is to really, really watch the market and look at what is good, what's potentially very good outcomes from this, and look at opportunities for things like how we can leverage technology to make our own law firms more efficient, where current, even small law firms might benefit from, you know, different forms of investment or non-attorney ownership. And I think that over the next 5 years, it's going to be really important for lawyers who, especially who are entrepreneurs and do own their own law firms, to watch the market closely and look for where those next opportunities are as the landscape shifts.
Well, there's an awful lot to understand here, and we are definitely going to keep this on our radar screen, though I think we're probably going to have to check back with you before 5 years. Mark your calendar. We'll certainly check back with you in 5 years. Julia Shapiro from Hire and Esquire, thank you so much for your thoughts on this.
Thanks for inviting me onto the show, Joe.